I think that one of the basic issues of our building together is this trust issue, because we in Colombia, we have lost it. The war have broken trusts among men and women, between women and women, between men and men.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
In November 2001, a group of Colombian women and international observers spent 7 days on a Japanese peace boat to seek a solution to the war in Colombia. In Porto Alegre, Brazil, Margarita Pacheco, one of the organizers, told Wings how it started.
Angela Cuevas from the Association of Women Household Head of Families from Cali, Colombia, contacted me requesting if I would like to be interested in co-organizing this meeting, because she had contacts with the peace boat, a Japanese NGO. The peace boat offered the leg between La Guaira, Venezuela, Panama Channel, and Guayaquil, which is a 7-day trip on board, together with 20 women and international accompaniment, to make a very singular meeting, which was inviting women from the different armed groups and from different experiences in life that would have never come together if we hadn't gathered them. And we were in touch also with two men who have been working with a methodology called Sintegration. This is theory of how to build up consensus among people who want to build up their own agenda. So we invited Germán Bula and Roberto Sarama, these two men, who actually ended saying we as women, using the gender in Spanish. We wouldn't call ourselves nosotros, pero nosotras. So what we did was Angela got in touch with Genevieve Vaughn and the Foundation Feminist for a Gift Economy in the US, and we presented the project to the Swiss government and the Norwegian government. We thought that it was very important to have the endorsement of two country friends which are very much involved in the peace process, in the international follow-up and negotiation. And having this endorsement, somehow I felt a bit protected, if you want to, because we didn't know the high risk we were taking in contacting people from the extreme left and the extreme right to be together. Anyway, we thought that it would be very important to show to the Colombian public opinion and to the international public opinion that we were capable of inviting and sitting together in the same table women from different, very different perspectives that are in the different regions where the conflict is very tough. There was one, having been a militant from LNA, now present women's networking based in a region in Colombia, another one coming from the ex-combatant from M19, a movement that gave the arms in the 90s and showed to the country that the armed solution was not the solution. There was another one from another Partido Revolucionario, PRT. We wanted to contact somebody from FARC. Actually, we wrote to her through one of our Swiss friends trying to contact a high-level woman in the FARC, but she did not reply. She knew we were having the meeting, and she did not reply. We have the fear that they fear coming closer to us or to open and permit women from this very hierarchical male organization to approach women's movements. We also invited from in Geneva, there's one political refugee that I personally contacted and I know personally, who has been close to the UP, Unión Patriótica, which has been a party that has been mostly extinguished by the right wing. Last minute she couldn't come, but they all knew about the peace boat. So at least we have 3 or 4 combatants or ex-combatants from the extreme left groups. We also had contact with kidnapped women who have suffered the kidnapping, and she in fact became close to the LNN while she was in captivity. So she had this opportunity, being kidnapped with her husband, to get to know more, and now she's very, very committed to work for the peace process, even with them. with her kidnappers. There's also a lady, part of, she's a landlady, she has a land and deals with a farm. Her husband was killed by the FARC because she stopped paying the paramilitaries the rate that they have to pay monthly to be protected. So she also herself is being threatened by the paramilitaries in an area which is completely invaded by paramilitary groups. She's a cattle breeder, and as a cattle breeder with a lot of land, she's a rich woman, and she has to deal with FARC and with paramilitaries at the same time, and has to defend herself, and they want her to sell her land, and she said, I'm not going to sell my land, and I'm not because this land is very precious for narco-traffic, because they are cultivating poppies in this area, and they want to force her to leave her land to cultivate poppies, so she doesn't want to sell her land. Now, that's a very interesting story, how she is being very forceful of not permitting males from the narco-traffic to blackmail her to get out of the area. When we met in the boat, she said to me in a very discreet way at the beginning, you know something, in a very Caribbean accent, because she has a lovely Caribbean accent from Cartagena, I was very furious when my husband was killed by FARC, and my sons too, but with my son, 14 years old, told me some weeks ago that he wanted to go and fight to defend his father's death and join the paramilitaries. I immediately react and told her, you are not going to join any armed group. We're going to work for peace, and I don't want my children to be involved in any of the armed groups. So since that moment, she decided that she wanted to be, even being a landlord lady in this very conflicted area, to be committed in our group within the peace boat. Now, the other lady who comes with her from the Caribbean is, she's a lawyer and she's a Navy reservist. She's like a military. In case of war, something she can be called to be a military, a Navy ranked lieutenant. So we wanted to have somebody from the army, and she has been lobbying a lot within the Navy, how she sees the peace process and how the militaries should be involved within the peace process. So for us, the lobbying that she can do as a lawyer and as a Navy reservist is very important. It's because we want to sensitize all these different areas where they participate actively. We are so different from such different backgrounds. Personally, I am living in Switzerland since 4 years, and I'm a former academic and urban and regional planner and environmentalist. And we had the minister of the Office for Equity of Women in the presidency. She has a minister level, Nathalie Lozano, former vice minister of justice and former ambassador to the Norwegian government. So we had high-level representatives of the government that would somehow ensure that our message would go through the government. And we had a Norwegian guest, Ingrid Eide, who had been in Cali before with the group of women in Cali. We had Maria de la Fuente as a Spanish and peace boat representative, Yami Namamoto from Japan, Tokyo, Mireya Holm from Denmark, but is also Colombian, and of course Genevieve and Sissy Farenthold. It was extremely important, the presence of these two American ladies. First, Genevieve as a Texan base. For us, Texas is bush. For us, Texas is oil. For us, Texas is the most conservative right-wing area. And it was a discovery to discover this wonderful woman, Sissy Farenthold from the Drug Policy Foundation. I was very surprised to know that there are Americans that are really fighting very hard and that do not agree with the U.S. policy regarding the crop dusting, in an illicit crop dusting, and the whole way that the military is giving to eradicate coca and poppy plantations. Now, there was another character that unfortunately couldn't come to Porto Alegre, and this is Maria Lastenia, and she's an indigenous lady coming from the Paez ethnic group in the south of Colombia, Cauca. And she taught us a very important lesson. Well, first of all, she is probably the only one who is dealing with that she's a peasant, she's a cultivator, and she's one of the persons who has been cultivating coca and poppy because there was no way out. And the problem of globalization is that you don't have the choice. The problem of the market, of getting some income to buy your basic needs. They were forced to leave potatoes and onions and the beans cultivation to start with illicit drugs because in the market they could sell it better and get better income for the children. I mean, this is as simple as that. It's a horrendous thing that globalization forcing people to get into the illicit, even though, as you know, coca is a traditional plantation among indigenous communities. But it became a criminal thing for a leaf that is not a criminal, that is a traditional element in the culture. So the whole confusion that has brought this narco economy, which is an agro industry, is a monoculture that not only has been destroying our mega biodiversity area, which is these areas in the south of Colombia are the beginning of the Amazonian Piedemonte Amazonico. These are ecosystems that are extremely fragile and well known as mega biodiversity areas because we are so close to the equator. And the deforestation rate within these areas, the narcotraffic business, has been a horrendous environmental destroyer. Apart from the fact that the crop dusting, thanks to Monsanto and this paraquat doses spread into the crop, into the crops, is polluting the waters, is polluting, is affecting the health of children. Even there are abnormal birth babies, thanks to this horrendous Monsanto-based transnational paraquat sold to the Americans as part of the drug policy. If one could look at the social, environmental, cultural, economic consequences of this military aid within the Plan Colombia, it's a real perverse aid. We don't want this aid. Keep it in your place and put your paraquat in your own corn and rice, but don't give it to us and don't sell it to us. Because we are losing our capacity to cultivate our own food. There is a security problem nowadays, a real threat to hunger, thanks to crop dusting with this horrendous poison. Also, the food, the little cultivation that people need to survive, mixing up altogether because all these cultivations are mixed up with the food. So what is happening is the environmental and poisoning, the pollution that is created, this thing, and the worst is that people complain and the government makes the eye blind, as if nothing was happening, because this is what we have to do to kill this threat of the drug. Why don't we look at the drug issue in a different way? And what we women from the Peace Boat are proposing towards this problem that is affecting the whole Colombia is to decriminalize the drug. Why don't we legalize drugs, damn it, and just put the price down so we stop with this business? It's like the Al Capone business in the 1920s in the U.S., in the States, with the alcohol. While it was a clandestine issue, it was very costly and it was a very big business for the mafia. Now, if we can really say, look, whoever wants to smoke, let them smoke. It's their problem. They are individuals and they decide. It's like the abortion. Let us abort if we want. We are women and we are owners of our own body. So why don't we just really set up a political matter again about how to legalize drugs and decriminalize them so we finish with this business? Otherwise, all this crop dusting is just an excuse to continue the business of the war. Now, you know that the transnationals that are about the business to be an insurer of big multinationals that make investments in high infrastructure like oil pipelines or big infrastructure buildings like roads or oil explorations. It's not for granted that where there is oil, there is conflict. And in my country, where there is oil exploration, there is war. Why? Well, you better analyze that in depth. What is the link between the oil explorations and the mining activity and the war with paramilitaries and guerrilla? And it's exactly there where the American aid is military. So there is not a coincidence. We better look at that in a more thorough way. Also, the big transnational companies that are insuring these companies that built up this infrastructure, they have political risks insurance. So each time that there is a problem with this infrastructure. They gain money because this is indebting the country. It's like when the loans from the World Bank, they are lending us money to build infrastructure, to say a road. But who is paying that loan? We citizens are paying the loan. I mean, we really have to be more serious about this transnational business and the responsibility of transnationals' involvement in the conflict. We want to fragment it and we don't want to understand it, but we women try to understand what is the link between this transnational responsibility and the conflict in the regions. And Colombia is the best scenario to analyze this link, and especially where there's oil and there's mining. We have a lot of oil in Colombia, and I think that that's one of the reasons why the Americans have a big eye on us, as in Afghanistan, and the pipeline coming from the Caspian Sea. The war in Afghanistan is not for granted that there's a pipeline in between. And in Colombia, we have also the pipelines and we have big reserves of oil and gas. So the energetic issue to maintain the big transnationals producing cars, the whole car industry. Why America has not signed the Kyoto Protocol? Let's ask what is happening, why this involvement of political decisions in the U.S. that are linked with the oil and the explorations of the mining. I mean, I just want to leave this as a big question mark because we women have to understand the whole mechanics of how all this works in the transnational corporations world and logic.
Margarita Pacheco shared what the 7 days on the Colombian Women's Peace Boat were like.
From the beginning, even the girls coming from the left wing and the combatant side, they were very mistrusting. They were very fearful. The first day we were almost deaf and mute because we didn't know how to start opening our hearts. Wow, it was days and nights sharing, even the rooms, sharing and eating together and having a very organized, monarchical timetable for working, defining the priorities of our work, our consensus building. Working for consensus building among such a different group requires a very detailed methodology and facilitators who know how to deal with the differences. Now, we could prove that there was tolerance, respect to the difference, sensitivity, and also we are able to cry with each other. We really cried a lot. This second meeting in Porto Alegre has been extremely important to continue consolidating this collective. We maintain a horizontal group with no hierarchies, with deep respect with each other, obviously with a lot of divergences and even conflicts sometimes, and we sometimes scream to one to the other, and that's part of the dynamics of building up a group. First of all, one of the main issues that we agreed is that the war in Colombia has been a male war, decided by males, where we have not been consulted, but we have been the main victims as mothers, sisters, lovers, whatever. In our condition, in our human condition, all our families have been affected for this conflict. And now that we have a 3-year ongoing peace process, to save this process, because I'm sure we can save it, we have to be included in the negotiation tables from all the groups, from the government side and from the guerrilla side. And our effort now is to identify women from these different groups to see how can we put our values, our feminine values, our vision of the war, our vision of rebuilding a society. Because we definitely know that we have to rebuild our society in a different development model. We cannot continue with this model that we are dependent within all these structural adjustment policies that were given by the Bretton Woods institutions and imposed to our elite government and decision makers. And now we realize that we have to change the whole thing the whole way around. And if we don't stress in a very forceful way as women to change the societal model and push the strategies to do it, because one thing is the discourse, another thing is the how to put together policies, programs, and projects among the regions, the local authorities, and the governors of the different provinces to really understand how we can rebuild the local economy to be, and where women play a much more a central role in the rebuilding local economies. But building local economies means also looking at the global problem, because we have to confront again all this question of the mafia, narcotráfico. This is a transnational, like Exxon or like any other. And they work and they don't leave even their profits in the country. Yeah, go and see the banks. Where are the dollars earned by the laundry? And who is doing what about the laundering? You know that the government of Colombia has not accepted to have people from the right being into the negotiation process. The paramilitaries are not invited and are not, they are claiming the space, but there has been no acceptance, neither from the FARC or ELN or government, to invite the paramilitaries. It's not that we like the paramilitaries at all, but they have an army of more than 14,000 men armed until with the tooth fighting and killing a lot of people, civilians, and not only guerrillas, but also civilians that somehow are suspected to be collaborators of the guerrilla. So, I mean, it's not nothing, this actor, this stakeholder group. Now, one of the issues, of course, is that we also have to protect ourselves against paramilitaries. It is a threat to all women that are engaged within the Colombian peace process. We all are scared of them, of course. These are horrendous males with arms, and with they think that they can make the law by shooting, and that's the way they are doing it. There's no ideology behind. There's not really a substantial study group that would really have a proposal to make a new state. Not even that. So they are a monstrous parallel army group of guys who are paid like mercenaries. I mean, the problem nowadays with the guerrilla in both sides is that this is an income generation. The young guys are paid monthly. They receive 3 meals a day and they have vacation. They have some payment. It, in fact, one of the problems is that this is a competitive labor market. And they go, and they are people from FARC that are now in the paramilitaries, no matter the ideology. We all know that this is a 25 or 30,000 income generating job labor market. That's the worst of all. It's really the need of all these young guys. Our friend who was kidnapped by the ELN, they know that they are very young guys from very poor families, among many of them, and the only way out to get some dignification and some valorization of their lives is to get into the guerrilla. Otherwise, they are really there in the streets, in the cities, robbing and being delinquents.
The Colombian women and their international allies on the peace boat all agreed there cannot be a lasting peace without a social basis. They also emphasized the value of international solidarity in the peace process.
It has been extremely important to meet the international group of women who came with the Feminists for a Gift Economy, especially meeting the crew of the Bangladesh, Canadians, Americans, with whom I think we can really build up a stronger network of solidarity with Colombia, especially from the U.S. and particularly from Texas. Angela Cuevas from the Association of Women Household Head of Families, she asked me at the beginning, well, why don't we get in touch with some American NGOs? And I must confess to you that at the beginning I was very prejudiced. I have been personally very prejudiced about whatever is American. To tell you the frank truth, the idea of all what has been happening with Plan Colombia has put a lot of us very prejudiced, and we don't have the information on who is solidarity with us and who is not. So at the beginning, I was a bit skeptic and not knowing if to say yes, let's invite the Americans or not. I trust Angela, and I think that thanks to this trust, we came across to know this wonderful group of American and North American women with whom we can trust too. And this is a call to really start being concrete with how can we really be in touch with American-based associations and networks of women and of course men, because we are not exclusive. Being a feminist, that doesn't mean that we don't count on males that respect women. I think that the strategy of working with the US, with you, is extremely important to make a forceful pressure now that this threat that we have on our famous list, quoting of terrorism, is so dangerous for the effort of negotiations within the peace process. We really need the U.S. solidarity with Colombia, showing us that it's not a monolithic country and that what Bush is saying is not what everybody thinks. The civil society organizations, the non-armed civil society organizations, have to be together in the U.S. and in Colombia to make a real call. And this is a call from Porto Alegre, where we now see that we are not alone, that we are a bunch of a lot of thousands of people, men and women, claiming a change. And this was certainly a show that the Davos meeting in New York and this international interest that find their way to impose their logic, we don't believe anymore in their logics. Now we have to dismount these logics of how the whole economic system is working. So we have to study, we have to analyze how it works, so how to dismantle it. So this is a call to help us building how to make politics in such a way that we can rebuild a new country and a new society. And I'm not calling us only as a Colombian. I also call for solidarity for Argentina. Argentina is showing the mess that international financial agencies have made of this economy. So what are we going to, what are the Argentinians going to receive of their complaint? Are they going to be also terrorists or what? In the same logics as Bush is doing with Afghanistan? I think we really have to put these guys to rethink how they think. They really need a therapy. So let's force them to do a therapy and let's build up together the way how we are going to set up our strategies for new nation states that respect the regions and to give more autonomy and more force to the local authorities and the regional authorities to rebuild the economies in new terms.
Margarita Pacheco was interviewed in February 2001 by Frida Weirden. By the end of February, the Colombian government left the peace table and began bombing the FARC safe haven. To contact the women from the peace boat, see their website at World Wide Web EmbarcaPazColombia.org, www.EmbarcaPazColombia.org, or email FIDA@Calypso.com.co, FIDA@Calypso.com.co. This is Stacey Pettigrew reporting for Wings.
To find out more about Wings, email wings@wings.org or check our website, www.wings.org. Our postal address is Box 33220, Austin, Texas, 78764, USA. Wings thanks our station subscribers and our supporters, including Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the book Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. Our sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
We are walking in a circle. We are walking hand in hand. We are walking in a circle to create the promised land. We are loved.